Humans have an innate morality. While values differ from person to person and from group to group, every human society has some form of golden rule and a systematic way to punish violators. But while morality is universal, its evolutionary origins are muddled. Should natural selection eliminate the impulse to be kind to others, especially when it means improving their well-being at the expense of our own? In his new book, Moral Origins: The Evolution of Virtue, Altruism, and Shame, Christopher Bohm, celebrated evolutionary anthropologist and director of the Jane Goodall Research Center at the University of Southern California, sheds new light on the mystery of human generosity and altruism. Again, the name of the book is Moral Origins: The Evolution of Virtue, Altruism, and Shame, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Christopher Bohm to the program. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Happy to be with you.
What brought you to look into the origins of our morality?
Well, by original training, I'm a cultural anthropologist. But halfway through my career, I became interested in wild chimpanzees. And I went and spent, for 6 years, I went over to Africa every year and almost 2 years in the field working with chimps. And I was interested in conflict resolution. Once I had both of these different cultures under my belt, I started thinking about why it was that chimpanzees really don't seem to have anything like morals. They do not blush with shame. They do not appear to be troubled when they're breaking a rule and know darn well they're breaking it. But if they're going to get away with it, it doesn't bother them a bit. And, of course, we poor humans are in a different boat entirely. We have a conscience, we have a sense of shame. A lot of people have a sense of guilt in the, at least in the Judeo-Christian tradition. The rest of the world seems to be more into face or honor. So shame is really a universal human emotion. And once you have something that's universal, then you start wondering, well, how did it evolve?
One of the things that you write about in the book and you discuss is are these common threads of morality across cultures. Give us a sense of some of those common threads.
Well, for one thing, all human beings not only learn culturally how to feel shame, but they have an innate physiological response, blushing, which also hooks up with shame. And they clearly have evolved together. And, of course, there are other things that go across cultures as well that are not so physiological, as it were. All human cultures promote altruism. They basically nag people to be generous. And the reason they do so is most evident in a small hunting band where people literally, to stay alive, they have to cooperate. They mainly cooperate in getting large game and dividing it up very nicely and fairly among the whole group. And this is a universal among hunter-gatherers, that they nag people to be generous. And, of course, when I nag you to be generous, I'm actually being selfish. There are two effects I'll get from your generosity. One is that I'll be able to take advantage of your giving me things, perhaps when I don't give you quite as much. And the other is that it helps the cooperation of the group as a whole, and these people are easily intelligent enough to understand that if they promote cooperation, they all live better.
So shaming works.
Oh, and shaming is a beautiful human reaction. There's a great example among the pygmies of a man who cheats on a net hunt. Everybody sets out in a huge long net, and each man is behind his net, and the women and children all drive from a big semicircle. They drive all the animals into the nets. And of course, if a man sets his net out in front of the others, he's going to get more game for his family, and therefore he's a cheater. And there is one case described of such a cheater being discovered, and he is subjected to all kinds of shame. He's called no better than animal. He's denied his usual place around the campfire and so forth. And the people actively shame him. And within 10 minutes, he's crying and apologizing and probably won't do it again. So shaming is a very effective method in small groups. We don't see it as much in modern urban society where we have policemen to take care of a lot of our problems. But a hunting band uses shame, uses ridicule. They're very effective weapons in the service of morality, as it were.
I was also fascinated by the role that gossip plays and how important that was in our moral evolution.
Well, gossip, the staying power of gossip is something I've taken interest in. In a hunting band, people spend a huge amount of their time gossiping. And it has so many different functions. One is simply to create a bond of trust between two people. Gossip is certainly a private affair, and it's very much predicated on trust, because if all the stuff you gossip about with your best buddy were to get out and be in public, you'd be in some big trouble, because you would have said some bad things about people that would hurt or infuriate or whatever. And hunting bands gossip a lot of the time. If you look to modern society, we have our substitutes for that. First, we gossip in the workplace, in our neighborhoods, within our families. We talk about other people and their behavior. And so the same old gossip goes on wherever you find humans in small groups that need to keep track of group members and make sure nobody's becoming a social predator is one of the main functions of gossip. There is some emphasis on positive attributes of people, but it's almost all negative. And if you look at what hunter-gatherers gossip about, a lot of it has to do with being down on big shots or bullies. The people are very quick to notice if anyone's trying to put himself, usually a he, above others. And if you translate this into modern society, we have soap operas, which are widely, widely attended to, as it were, by people who are TV watchers. And in a soap opera, you have basically a group about the size of a hunting band, and they are always talking about each other and who's done what, and they know each other very, very well through a gossip type of experience. So, and of course, entertainment shows on TV also have that flavor of gossip and focusing on people's character and personality, and especially if they do anything wrong. So gossip has been a constant in human evolution for a very long time, and it's still with us.
You talk about the role of capital punishment, the origins of capital punishment, and that's something that's over our heads in some ways to keep us straight, isn't it?
Well, capital punishment is practiced by hunter-gatherers in their bands. We think of these little bands as being a bunch of nice people cooperating, but actually, they do kill people, very often not by acting as the band as a whole, but delegating someone to be the executioner. And the most typical crime, as it were, in a small hunting band is for somebody to behave like a bully. I mean, a serious bully. This would be a strong hunter who physically dominates others, or perhaps even more often, a strong hunter who physically dominates others and also is a shaman, so that he can intimidate people by using his supposedly positive powers of healing in malign ways which are for his own self-interest. And these people get themselves killed. You occasionally have a thief or a cheater killed, sometimes somebody who commits incest, But the main crime in a hunting band is for someone to put himself above other people in a serious way and try to control or dominate them. So capital punishment has been a big part of human history, even though today we're trying to get rid of it.
How do we take this information, this history of morality and this evolution of morality, and move forward and know how we're going to be in the future?
Well, there are certain things that are pretty darn predictable. And going back to the bullying aspect of human behavior, bullies are going to be with us forever because we come from an ape ancestor that was very strongly into dominance and submission. You have to have submission if you have dominance, or else everybody will just be fighting all the time. And so the bullying behavior right now is sort of in vogue. It's been scrutinized in terms of what happens to kids at school that get bullied. And Mitt Romney's also catching a rap about having been a bully when he was in prep school. And so bullying will extend far into the future, just as shame will. Blushing with shame is an innate characteristic of humans. That is, blushing is hardwired. And our more generally, our sense of morality will continue to shape human life, even though we're not in small bands where we control information about people so thoroughly. And, of course, as we look to the future, there are certain things that we cannot do in a large society that we were able to do very effectively in a hunting band, one of which is to guard ourselves or protect ourselves against psychopaths. In a small hunting band, a psychopath is very easily identifiable. And everybody will know who it is, and that will actually slow that person down, or else he'll get himself killed. In a modern society, because psychopathy involves relatively high intelligence and often a very good understanding of rules, you can have a psychopath who will dissemble and look like a totally normal person and fool everybody. And occasionally we catch them after 20 years of killing people, or occasionally we don't catch them at all. And so we have new problems with morality as our type of society changes. But the basics of morality are that we internalize the rules of the group. We're set up to do that. That we also take those internalized rules and talk about them with other people. That's gossip. And we also are prepared to punish people who break the rules. And of course, it doesn't matter too much whether that's done by spontaneously by a small hunting band or in terms of a legal system. It's pretty much the same thing going on. So I think that morality, in a lot of ways, has continuity from the hunter-gatherer past to the present.
It's a fascinating book. It is Moral Origins, The Evolution of Virtue, Altruism, and Shame. It is published by Basic Books. Christopher Bohm, a great pleasure to have you on the program. I thank you very much for sharing your knowledge with us.
Well, I enjoyed being here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book is Moral Origins. It is published by Basic Books. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.